Verse number 7 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll commence our reading there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 7. The word of God says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye have not need that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we have commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." We know that the God of heaven will bless the reading of his word tonight to all of our hearts. If you've been with us over the week, you'll know that we've been thinking briefly each night about sounds from heaven. Some of the times in scripture whenever we read about certain sounds, perhaps unusual sounds that came from heaven itself. And we've mentioned right at the beginning of our week of prayer that it's vital in these days that we hear from the Lord and we hear God's voice. And in that sense that we ourselves hear sounds from heaven. We thought about the sound of a sovereign speaking on Monday night, Revelation 1, verse 15, whenever John heard the voice of the Lord in the Isle of Patmos, described it as being like unto the sound of many waters. Then we thought about the sound of the Spirit of God infilling the saints of God there in Acts chapter 2. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Then we thought on Wednesday night about the sound of a spiritual awakening. We thought about Elijah, the sound of abundance of rain. Last night we considered the sound of the saints overcoming, the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees. And tonight we want to think about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16. The sound of the Saviour's coming. The sound of the Saviour's coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16, I believe is one of the loudest verses in Scripture. One of the loudest texts in all the Word of God. There are some people that would have us to believe that this text of Scripture that speaks about the Saviour's coming again speaks of what some would call a secret or a silent rapture, whenever the church will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air and the world will continue on as normal for a period of 7 years. But you'll notice that this is one of the loudest verses in Scripture. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So there's nothing secret and there's nothing silent about the Lord's coming to the air for his saints. Every eye shall see him, the Bible says. He will come with clouds and he'll come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and also with the trump of God. Three simple things we could say about the sound of the Saviour's coming. The majesty of his coming. This verse speaks about glory and it speaks about triumph. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The shout of victory upon his lips with the voice of the archangel. The archangel, as we often read in Scripture, heralds the good news of the gospel. We think of the shepherds whenever they were gathered in the fields and the angel appeared in heaven with all of the heavenly host and announced that a Savior had come into the world. And again we see the archangel coming to this world with the Lord as he comes with all of his holy angels. And the angel will announce as well the coming of the Lord. And then the trumpet will sound, the trumpet sounding that note of victory. And we know therefore that the Saviour's coming will be a coming of great glory, great triumph, the majesty of his coming. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 16 and verse number 27 adds great light to this. It says there, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father, with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." And then Matthew chapter 24, that great chapter that speaks about the Lord's return and the events leading up to it, says, Matthew 24:30, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." So we see the majesty of his coming. His glory, I believe, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ returns, his glory and his light and his radiance shall fill the atmospheric heavens. That is to say, the skies that are above us shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, even as his glory tonight fills the celestial heavens. We read there in Revelation 21:23 that as John saw the new heavens and the new earth and he saw that celestial city, he said the city had no need for the light of the sun or of the moon, for the Lamb and the Lord are the light thereof. Some people ask the question in Genesis chapter 1, how come God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, but yet there was no sun, and there was no moon, and there were no stars? It's because God is light. And I believe right there in the beginning, as God said, "Let there be light," that his glory shone into the darkness, and all eternity and all space was filled with the light of the Lord. And so it will be to a certain level whenever the Lord Jesus Christ returns again. We'll see the majesty of his coming. But really the application here in 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 4 is concerning the manner of his coming. And you'll notice here that the Savior certainly is coming personally. That is a fact that cannot be gainsaid. It says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He is coming back personally. There are people that down through the ages of the history of the church have tried to deny that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back personally, and they'll say that the second coming has already taken place whenever the Lord poured out his Spirit at Pentecost, and that's an old heresy. But the Bible here clearly says that there's a day coming, still future, whenever the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. As the angel said to the disciples as they stood on the Mount of Olives, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And it's always important to remember as we read the account of the Gospels, it was always that same Jesus, the same Jesus that was born, that lived and died. It was the same Jesus that rose again. Some of the cults deny the resurrection of the Lord bodily from the grave, and they'll say it was a type of a spiritual resurrection, or it was a recreation. Well, it was the same Jesus that was crucified, that rose again, that ascended, and it's the same Lord Jesus Christ that is coming again. He's coming personally. He's coming bodily, and he's coming visibly. Revelation 1:7 says, every eye shall see him, and he's coming with great publicity. And you'll notice whenever he comes again, he'll come, as it says there, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Whenever the Savior comes back, there's going to be, first of all, a great resurrection. In the days of his flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ says, marvel not, for the day, the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And this speaks of the great resurrection day. It says that we should not sorrow as them that have no hope, because we think about those that have died in the Lord. And it says they sleep in the earth. That is to say, their bodies are asleep. Their souls tonight are alive and well, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But whenever the Lord returns publicly, bodily, visibly, gloriously, it says there's going to be a great resurrection. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And if we die before the coming of the Lord, these bodies of ours, God hasn't finished with them. There's a day coming whenever God will raise them up again. And then those that are alive and remain, there's going to be a great rapture. Now, I'm not afraid tonight of the word rapture. The word rapture literally just means to be caught up. And that's exactly what this verse is telling us here in verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And Paul says that this is the great hope and the great comfort of the church, that our Savior is coming back again. And those that have gone on before, they're going to rise to meet the Lord. And then we ourselves, if we're alive at the coming of the Lord, will be caught up together with them in the clouds. But what's the great message of his coming? Why study these things, even in a prayer meeting like this? Why would we think even about the Lord's return? Well, I believe Christians always, every single day, should be thinking about the return of the Savior. Many, many times in the New Testament, hundreds of times, we read about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was something that the old saints lived in the light of, that the Lord could come at any given moment. The Word of God here says that the coming of the Lord will be unexpected. It says in chapter 5, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, and that's what the world is saying tonight, there's no need to be afraid, there's no need to think about God, there's no need to get back to the Bible, there's no need to be troubled about our souls, there's no need to think about death, there's no need to think about eternity. But it says, when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. Therefore, people must be ready. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. People need to be ready. We need to be ready. And we need, to the best of our ability, get the gospel out there to ensure that our friends and our loved ones and people that we meet know that they need to be ready to meet the Lord whenever he returns. Therefore, the Savior said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And this is one of the great messages of the Lord's return, that the Savior's coming back again. And in light of that, we must work. And we must labour to try and get the lost in. Not only that, but we must be careful to live lives that are God-honouring and lives that are abiding in Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 28 says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I wonder if the Savior had returned this afternoon, would we have confidence or would we have been ashamed? If the Lord was to return tomorrow, would we be abiding in him? Would we be walking closely with him if the Lord was to return tomorrow evening? Would we be doing something that we'd be ashamed of? Or would we be filled with confidence that we're as close to the Lord as it's possible to be this side of eternity? So the message of his coming, we must work, we must abide in him, and I also believe that we must pray. And we've got but one life in which to serve the Lord. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. We can only really pray in time. Eternity, as we've often said, is too late to pray. Whether it's in hell for repentance or in heaven for revival, but for the souls of men we can only pray in time. And surely as we look at the world scene before us this evening, we can hear the thunder of advancing hoofbeats. We're living, I believe, in the closing, not only days of time, but the closing minutes of time. And I trust that even this week we've heard some of these sounds from heaven, sound of abundance of rain, sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees, the sound of the Lord's voice as many waters, that sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And even tonight, that we'll be ready whenever the trumpet sounds and the archangel speaks with that great shout and the Lord descends from heaven, that we will be also ready. May the Lord write his word tonight upon our hearts. Now we'll seek the Lord, brethren, together.